Jajanaranjana. Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana. Tamuna Tiravanachari. Tamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariraja Kacharya Asatara Sasri Shishimadis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Sri Bhamana Dev Avadhara Ki Jai Sri Srila Jiva Goswami Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious to Sri Sri Guru Nguranga. So we're going to read one verse from the second canto from the chapter entitled Scheduled Incarnations, chapter 7, text number 17, describing the activities of Vamanadeva. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakchurun Milicham Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dishatarane Panchakalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. So, text 17. Jayan Gunar Avararajito Pyadite Sutanam. Jayan Gunar Avarajato Pyadite Sutanam. Lokan vichakrama iman yad atati dyagya. Lokan vichakrama iman yad atati dyagya. Shmam vamanena jagrihe tripada chalena. Shmam vamanena jagrihe tripada chalena. Yajnam rite paticharan prabhubir nachalya. Yajnam rite paticharan prabhubir nachalya. Jayan Gunar Avarajato Jayan Gunar Avarajo Pyadite Sutanam. Lokan Vichakrama Iman Yadatadi Jagya. Shmam Vamanena Jagrihe Tripada Chalena. Yachnam Rite Paticharan Prabhubir Nachalya. Jayan Gunar Avarajo Pyadite Sutanam. Yachnam rete paticharan prabhubir nachalya. Jayan gunar avarjo pyadite sutanam. Lokan vichakrama iman yatatadi jagya. Shram vamanena jagrihe tripada chalena. Yachnam rite paticharan prabhubir nachalya. Our Lady. Janyan gunar avarajo pyadite sutanam. Lokan vichakrama iman yad atadi yagya. Shmam vamena jagrahe tripada chalena. Yachnam rite paticharan prabhu birna chalya. Jayan gunar avarajo pyatiste sutanam. Lokan vichakrama imam yadata dijagya. Shmam famena jagrahe tribhara chalena. Yachnam rite paticharan prabhu birna chalya. Anybody else? Jayan. The greatest. Gunai. By qualities, avaraja, transcendental, api, although he is so, adite, avaditi, sutanam, of all the sons, known as adityas, lokan, all the planets, Vichakrame, surpassed, iman, in this universe, yat, one who, ata, therefore, adiyagya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, kshmam, all the lands, vamanina, in the incarnation of Vamana, Jagrahe, accepted, Tripada, three steps, Chalena, by pretension, Yachnam, begging, Rite, without, Paticharan, passing over the right path, Prabhubihi, by authorities, na, never to be, chalya, to be bereft of. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the Lord, although transcendental to all material modes, still surpassed all the qualities of the sons of Aditi, known as the Adityas. The Lord appeared as the youngest son of Aditi. And because he surpassed all the planets of the universe, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the pretense of asking for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land, he took away all the lands of Bali Maharaj. He asked simply because, without begging, no authority can take one's rightful possessions. And purport. The history of Bali Maharaj and his charity to Vamanadev is described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj conquered all the planets of the universe by rightful possession. A king can conquer other kings by strength, and such possession is considered to be rightful. So Bali Maharaj possessed all the lands of the universe, and he happened to be charitably disposed toward the Brahmanas. The Lord therefore pretended to be a beggar, Brahmana, and he asked Bali Maharaj for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land. The Lord, as the proprietor of everything, could take from Bali Maharaj all the land he possessed, But he did not do so because Bali Maharaj possessed all those lands by king's rights. When Bali Maharaj was asked by Lord Bhamana for such small charity, Bali Maharaj's spiritual master, namely Shukracharya, objected to this proposal because he knew that Vamana Dev was Vishnu himself, pretending to be a beggar. Bali Maharaj did not agree to abide by the order of his spiritual master when he understood that the beggar was Vishnu himself, and he at once agreed to give him in charity the land requested. By this arrangement, Lord Vamana covered all the lands of the universe with his first two steps, and then asked Bali Maharaj where to place the third step. Bali Maharaj was very glad to receive the Lord's remaining step upon his head, and thus Bali Maharaj, instead of losing everything he possessed, was blessed by the Lord's becoming his constant companion and doorman. So, by giving everything to the cause of the Lord, one does not lose anything, but he gains everything that he could never otherwise expect. Translation again, the Lord, although transcendental to all material modes, still surpassed all the qualities of the sons of Aditi, known as the Adityas. The Lord appeared as the youngest son of Aditi, and because he surpassed all the planets of the universe, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. On the pretense of asking for a measurement of 3 footsteps of land, he took away all the lands of Bali Maharaj. He asked simply because without begging, no authority can take one's rightful possessions. So this gives a quite nice summary of the pastimes of Vamana Dev. But actually the history goes back long ways. In the 8th canto is described, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that the whole pastime is described elaborately in the 8th canto. And actually the history goes back practically throughout the whole, not the whole 8th canto, but goes back to the churning of the ocean of milk when the demigods and the demons churned the ocean of milk, and they got the nectar, and by some trick of Lord Vishnu, Mohini Murti, she took the nectar and gave it to the demigods, who fought with the demons. And this way, this big conflict is going on in the 8th canto between the demons and demigods. They're always fighting because that is the nature, material world. This Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maitun. This is always going on, this fighting, because of these 3 modes of material nature. Everyone has some different interest in life. We have discord. Everyone has different interests, and then therefore one is envious of another that he has something that I want. And this way the demons, they were envious of the demigods. That is the general principle. Demigods means a devotee of Vishnu, and they're supposed to be satisfied, as actually explained by Vamana Dev to Bali Maharaj. So anyway, the demons were fighting, and they, because the demigods had been benedicted by this nectar, they defeated the demons. And actually, at that time, Bali Maharaj was killed by the demigods. And later he was brought back to life by the Shukracharya. Shukracharya had some mystic potencies. They brought back to life all the demons who had not been completely obliterated like that. So then by the prowess of these Bhrigu family, Shukracharya came in the family of Bhrigu Muni, and they performed one great sacrifice, the Vishvajit Yajna, on the behalf of Bali Maharaj, because Bali Maharaj wanted to regain, to take over the kingdom of Lord Indra. There was great animosity there. So they, this Shukracharya and the other Brahmins in his dynasty, they helped Bali Maharaj perform one Vishvajit Yajna. And at that time, they did because they were so qualified Brahmins, Their performance of the sacrifice was very fruitful. They brought forth a chariot and horses, bow and arrows, and a conch shell that was given to Bali Maharaj. And these things were helped him to regain his strength. And he again attacked the demigods. And he took over the whole heavenly kingdom this way by the strength of the Brahmanas. Throughout the whole Vedic literature, the Brahmins have a very special place. They're very, without, in practically all the pastimes, the hand of the Brahmanas are there. This is the way that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is glorifying the Brahmanas in this big essay, Brahman and Vaishnav. He compares the Brahmins and the Vaishnavs. So he glorifies the Brahmanas, that they are very... instrumental in practically all these different pastimes that take place. This Shukracharya and the Brahmins of the Bhrigu dynasty, they helped to Bali Maharaj to conquer the entire heavenly kingdom. And this made, they were actually the demigods, they ran away because they saw that Bali Maharaj, Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, he advised them that they can't be defeated now, these demons. They've become very powerful because they've gotten the blessings of the Brahmanas. So they all retreated, and for some time, this actually is described as many years passed as Kashyapa Muni was engaged in meditation. He came back to his ashram and he saw that everything was completely dilapidated. His wife, everything was in a very forlorn condition. And he went, saw Aditi. Aditi explained to him the situation, that the demons have taken over my son's kingdom. Aditi is the mother of Indra, as described here. The Adityas, 12 sons of Aditi, were there. And so she begged Kashyapa Muni, please give us some means how we can regain, how my sons can regain the kingdom from this Bali Maharaj. So in this way, this next chapter is described that, of course, there's one interesting quote there, that when Kashyapa Muni, he was not... he was an unwilling participant. He said that, he says, Kasya ke patiputraja moha eva hikaranam. He says that, what is this idea of this, your sons and their sons? He says that Kasya, who is whose husband and son? He says, moha eva hikaranam. These are simply produced by illusion. This relationship of the body, the bodily relationships, these are all moha eva hikaranam. So anyway, because he had that relationship, he was a husband of Aditi, he agreed that, okay, you have to, there's one means that you can get the favor of Lord Vishnu, because without his favor, you can't defeat the demons. The demons cannot be defeated in their present situation. So he gave her one means, this it's called the Payavrata sacrifice. Paya means milk. So he told her that this sacrifice, I think it was during the month of Phalgun, for 12 days she was to drink only milk, and of course engage in so many different types of service, sleeping on the ground and engaged in meditation on Lord Vishnu. And this way, she performed it very strictly, this vow, Payavrata vow, drinking only milk and worshiping the Lord. And she got the favor of Lord Vishnu. He came to her and he agreed to become her son, to help her her other sons. So this is one of the names of Vamana. Vamana has different names. We know there's different names. Upendra. One of his names is Upendra, the younger son of Indra, as described here in the purport, that he's the youngest son of Aditi. What's the other names of Vamana? Trivikram. Trivikram, what does it mean? Three steps, three Vikrama. Very powerful potencies are there. And one more. It's described in the Atmarama verse. Actually, it gives a nice description in the chapter 24 of Chaitanya Madhyalila. Urukrama. Uruk means great. And krama means step. So it's described there that his steps shook the whole universe. And of course, we offer prayers. Jayadev Goswami, he offered prayers. What are his prayers? Chalayasi Bikramani Balim Adbhuta Vamana Padanaka Nira Janita Janapavana Keshava Drita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadishari. So Padanaka, the toenail. Padanaka Nira. Nira means water. Janita. He gave birth to this particular water that was Janapavana. Janapavana means the purifier of all the living entities. What is that water that purifies all living entities? Ganges water. So by that step, that those three steps of... So anyway, we're going back. This Payavrata ceremony was there. We have some time. I think we're going to read the description, the chapter summary of Lord Vamana, the dwarf incarnation. This is chapter 18 from the 8th canto. This chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva appeared and how he went to the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali, who received him well and fulfilled his desire by offering him benedictions. Lord Vamanadeva appeared in this world from the womb of Aditi, completely equipped with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. His bodily hue was blackish, and he was dressed in yellow garments. Lord Vishnu appeared at an auspicious moment on Shravan Dvadasi, when the Abhijit star had risen. At that time, in all the three worlds, including the higher planetary system, outer space, and this earth, all the demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and even the seasons were happy because of God's appearance. Therefore, this auspicious day is called Vijaya. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a Satchidananda body, appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi, both of his parents were very astonished. After his appearance, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf, Vamana. This is meaning of Vamana, means dwarf. Srila Prabhupada actually instructed the devotees, Mayapur. I don't know, I looked yesterday, I didn't see that they did this year, but many times I've seen that they dress up one of the Gurukul boys as Vamana, under Srila Prabhupada's instruction. They did this year also, you saw? Yeah, the children, yeah. Okay. All the great sages expressed their jubilation, and with Kashyapa Muni before them, they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vamana. At the time of Lord Vamana's sacred thread ceremony, he was honored by the sun god Brihaspati, the goddess presiding over the planet Earth, the deity of the heavenly planets, his mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, the seven rishis, and others. Lord Vamanadeva then visited the sacrificial arena on the northern side of the Narmada River at the field known as Bhrigukacha, where brahmanas of the Bhrigu dynasty were performing yajñas. Wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deerskin, and a sacred thread, and carrying in his hands a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot, kamandalu, Lord Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali. Because of his transcendentally effulgent presence, all the priests were diminished in their prowess, and thus they all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. Even Lord Shiva accepts on his head the Ganges water generated from the toe of Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Pali Maharaj immediately accepted the water from the Lord's feet on his head and felt that he and his predecessors had certainly been glorified.
Then Pali Maharaj
inquired of Lord Vamanadeva's welfare and requested the Lord to ask him for money, jewels, or anything he might desire. Padatrayam yachamana prajadi shustri pishtapan. As described here in this purport, that Vamanadeva, he didn't want to take anything from the Lord, from Pali Maharaj. Vamanadeva didn't want to steal any, but actually it's described, chalayasi vikramane. Balim, he's cheated, practically speaking, Pali Maharaj, because his two steps covered the entire universe, and also pierced the covering of the universe. So in this way, Pali Maharaj, he was so much captivated by Bhamana's. Of course, Pali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. He was the son of Barochana. And even though at that he requested Vamanadeva that you please accept some charity, because this was the system. And I think before a class, Ragatmika Mataji read some pastime about how the Brahmanas alone are qualified for accepting charity. We can't. Vamanadeva, of course, he's the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahma. He can accept any charity. Patram pushpam palam toyam. He even accepts some leaf or fruit or flower or water. So this offering of charity, this is a very important part of Vedic civilization. Krishna says that acts of charity, penance, and austerity should never be given up because they purify even the great souls. So Pali Maharaj offered that you want to take something. He, at that time, Pali Maharaj had conquered the entire universe, and he offered, he can take anything. I can give you whatever you want. And Pali Maharaj, Vamanadeva replied that I simply want three steps of land. He gave some very important instruction. He says that someone who is not satisfied with small parts of land, how can he be satisfied with the whole universe? If someone's senses are uncontrolled, he cannot be satisfied with the entire universe. This was the instructions of to Hiranyakasipu. We were reading about Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu in the Bhagavatam reading. So they're not satisfied. No matter what type of power you get to within this universe, you cannot be satisfied, because the living entity. They give the simple example of the fish out of the water. This is a famous ISKCON example, that if you take a fish out of the water, and he's never, no matter what type of facilities you give him, he cannot be satisfied because he's out of his natural condition of life. So the living entity, being spiritual, he can't be happy in this material world, no matter what type of facility he has. Doesn't matter. What he has. So Vamanadeva, he asked that for these three steps of land and for two steps. Of course, Shukracharya, he was very much concerned, because he was a family guru. He was dependent on his disciples for his livelihood. So he told them, don't give anything to this beggar. He's Lord Vishnu. He'll take everything. He could understand, Trikalagya, he could understand that he was going to take the whole universe back from him. He said, don't give him. He said that I think Shukracharya gave some opportunities how one can break one's promise in particular circumstances one can break one's promise. This was his argument, of course, but Pali Maharaj, he was, being the son of Virochana, grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, he was a great soul, and of course he became celebrated as one of the 12 Mahajans. He gave some nice statement that he says that that the Mother Earth, she can bear any type of great weight, great burdens. She holds so many mountains and oceans and everything. The Mother Earth can bear any type of great burdens like this, but she can't bear even the burden of one person who lies. This is a great burden for Mother Earth, the person who lies. Mayaiva vihitan, Mayaiva, what is that? In Kali Yuga, this is a type of, huh? Mayaiva, huh? Yes, so this, anyway, this is a, I think it's a, Mayaiva vyaviharika. I think it's vyavaharika. Vyava means it's a general practice in Kali Yuga, in the description of Kali Yuga in the 12th canto. This is a standard practice in Kali Yuga to tell lies. Even in ordinary affairs, people give, why? Sometimes it's even not even logical. People just engage in so many activities like this. So we can understand that this Mother Earth is greatly burdened in this way, and try to rectify the situation by propagating the Sankirtan movement. And so this is the activities, just to, like Jiva Goswami. Today is his appearance day also. He's one of the six Goswamis. What is that described? That Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Saddharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane. That these six Goswamis, they had this engagement that describes in the Shad Goswami Ashtakam. One of these engagements was Lokanam Hitakarino. They would try to engage in the welfare activities of all the living entities. And Jiva Goswami, particularly this verse, very nicely describes his activities. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Saddharma Samstapako. He established these religious principles after studying all the different Vedic scriptures, because the scriptures are the basis of all proper activities in the human life. That of course, the scriptures have to be understood through the medium of the devotee and the guru. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya, therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says like that, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya, Chitte Te Karya Aikya, that by these three pramans, these three authorities, the Sadhu Shastra and Guru, one can understand what he should do and what he should not do. This is the activities of a devotee. The non-devotees are described in just the opposite way. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha chanana vidurashara. That the demons, they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. But Jiva Goswami, he wrote so many books. Practically, I think there is description sometimes it says like 400,000 verses, something like that. We can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam is like 18,000 verses. So what is that, 20 times what the Srimad Bhagavatam is? Jiva Goswami, he was one of the younger Goswamis. He was the son of Vallabha, who became known as Anupam, who was the brother of Sanatan, Rupa and Sanatan, the younger brother. And he was, from his childhood, very detached, because he actually had darshan of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya came to Ramakeli, Lord Chaitanya came to see Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And Jiva Goswami was just a small child at that time, practically an infant. But he always remembered that form of Lord Chaitanya in his mind, and he became when his uncles, his father died at a young, when Jiva Goswami was very young, and his uncles, he took shelter of them, but they left for Vrindavan to take shelter, to execute the will of Lord Chaitanya. And Jiva Goswami, he took an opportunity. He was, from his childhood, very learned, studied all the rules of Sanskrit language, and later on he wrote Harinam Amrita Vyakaran, and we had some opportunity to study a little bit. Gave the whole Sanskrit grammar rules with using Krishna's names, different names of Krishna, to associate with the different rules. So anyway, Jiva Goswami, when he was young child, I think it said something, I think I read it, something like 12 years old, he left home. And 12 years, whatever, he went, one of the first places he went, it was Navadvip, and he took shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu took him around this Navadvip area that's described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Very nice description about all the different places that they visited and how Nityananda Prabhu described all these places to Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami, he studied also, under Nityananda Prabhu's instructions, he went to Varanasi and he studied grammar, Sanskrit. You can study Sanskrit grammar. I think Srila Prabhupada recommended you something like 12 years you can study Sanskrit grammar. Anyway, he studied under this Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was the disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and that was in Varanasi. So he studied and became very expert in Sanskrit language, all these intricacies. And he became actually, he went to Vrindavan and took shelter of Rupa and Sanatan, and he became actually the editor of Srila Rupa Goswami as he was writing all his books, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One time when he was fanning Rupa Goswami, that is described that when he was fanning Rupa Goswami, this Vallabhacharya came there and he inquired from Rupa Goswami about his writings, and he showed him one of his books that he had writing, and he said, "Oh, I will make some corrections. Just let me go take my bath first. I see some things that I can improve on your writing." So Jiva Goswami, he followed him to the Jamuna while he was taking bath, and he asked him, "What is this things that you're seeing in my uncle's writings that they want to correct?" And whatever he brought up, whatever Vallabha brought up, Jiva Goswami defeated. He established how Rupa Goswami's writings were so particularly correct, huh? Yeah? Doesn't look good, yes. So Rupa Goswami, he said, "This is not the that I was so fortunate. Vallabha, he came here to give me some advice, and you're not in the proper mental state that you can't stay here. They can't tolerate that somebody's giving me advice. Better you go home." So Jiva Goswami. He left there immediately, and he went. It's described he went to one place there in Vrindavan. He went north, actually, to Nandagat, and stayed there for some time. And he was living just on some atta and some water. He was mixing up together and other fruits and vegetables like that. And Sanatan Goswami came and brought him back to Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami came. This is described in Bhakti Ratnakar, but there's some other accusations there that Srila Prabhupada, not Srila Prabhupada describes these accusations, how Jiva Goswami was not proper to... these are accusations given by the sahajas like this, how they... Jiva Goswami was not in the proper mood of humility. But Srila Prabhupada points out that humility is all right for one's own personal self, but when one attacks his guru, as this Vallabha was trying to correct his Jiva Goswami's guru, his uncle, so this way he was proper to defend his uncle's honor. There is also some false accusations how Jiva Goswami took Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita and threw it in a well because he thought it would hamper his reputation, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, after he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, he showed that to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami had big reputation as being a great scholar, and so this is false accusations that are given by some sahajiyas. There's no truth in them, but Srila Prabhupada mentions them in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when he's describing the activities of Jiva Goswami. Anyway, Jiva Goswami particularly, he wrote commentaries on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he most well-known writings of amongst the devotees, ISKCON devotees nowadays, are Satsandarbha. Not only amongst the ISKCON devotees, but these Satsandarbha are so well-respected that even the greatest scholars, that after they've looked through these writings, reading different things, they mentioned one particular great scholar that declared that Jiva Goswami was the greatest of all philosophers in this world. So his teachings used to be discussed even in the universities, the Banaras Hindu University. I tried to see if it was currently going on, but I didn't see that. But anyway, Jiva Goswami were so much indebted, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and you can study this, all this Sad Goswami Ashtakam. The Rupa Raghunatha Pare Hoyabhi Abkuti Kabe Hama Bujava Se Jugala Priti. This is the openly understand the intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna by going through these six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami, he's after the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he was the leader of all the Vaishnavas, accepted. He sent, one more thing is there, is that he was dispatched this Srinivas Narottaman Shamananda to propagate these, either their first traveling Sankirtan party, book distribution party. They took the writings of the six Goswamis from Vrindavan. They took them back to Orissa and Bengal to distribute. That time they had to handwrite practically. All right, so anything I'd like to add or comment or question? Srila Jiva Goswami Ji Jai. You want to add anything? Oh, okay. Yes. Sarah. Balimar, Bhamana Dev or Jiva Goswami. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned this, and this has always been something in my mind. I don't think I understand. What's the significance of truthfulness in Kali Yuga? You know, it's the one leg of religion still standing. Mother Earth can't tolerate non-truthfulness.
Yeah, that's the statement. We can try to find that. Chapter 20, eighth canto, chapter 20, text 3, actually text 4, but text 3 we can also read. It says, I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I have already said that I shall give this land? How can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially towards a brahmana? It says, Nahyasatyat parodharmo. Says, there is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. So yes, Kali Yuga, this is supposed to be one of the last leg of religiosity. What are the other three? Austerity? Cleanliness and mercy, yeah. Compassion, mercy, yes. These are the other three. This when Parikshit Maharaj saw the Dharma being beaten by the Shudra Kali, he saw that he was only standing on this one leg of truthfulness. So it's very important how to... So devotees have to set a nice example of truthfulness by propagating the Supreme Satyam Param Dhimahi. We have to meditate and establish the Supreme Truth. Actually, we don't want to do that. There's a sometimes, of course, Chanakya Pandit, he also gives some opportunity, some exemptions like that for a higher purpose sometimes, because this material world, it's all false, it's all Maya. So to establish the Supreme Truth, sometimes devotees can use means sometimes, but this is not to be, this is what is called an emergency. In emergencies, sometimes the religious principles can be adjusted by the acharyas. But Raghatmaka has some answer. Answer, no. No. Explanation.
But may I describe a little bit of, for those who are not, do not know what takes place in Mayapur on this day.
Oh, okay, yes.
It's the noon offering, before the noon artik, they select a five-year-old boy, a different five-year-old boy every year, and the curtains open and he walks off the altar with his umbrella and over to the left, this is Radha Madhava's altar.
Is actually on the altar?
Yes. Yeah, he walks off the altar when the curtains open and he sits over on a throne on the left side and all the maha comes to him and some of the Brahmins are feeding him, just really stuffing him with all this maha, and all the devotees are just relishing this, you know. And Prabhupada said about this, because it started taking place when Prabhupada was present. He said Vamana is actually present.
Yes?
Yeah.
But I don't think when Srila Prabhupada was there. I was there in 77.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It could have been.
Yeah, he said it.
Mayapur. It wasn't during the Mayapur festival, yes.
Right.
Okay.
But I think he wrote it in a letter, because if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
I saw it in a letter.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right. So he was aware that this was going on.
Yeah, so they could have certainly done it.
I thought today when we saw a little Gauradas dressed as Vamandev, maybe we can start doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Did your question get satisfied? I don't know. what to do about Kali Yuga, this important truthfulness. Yeah.
I don't quite understand what does that mean.
What does that mean for us?
What does that practically mean?
Yeah. Yes.
You can read Bhagavad Gita 17:15, how to speak. He says, speak the truth. Anudvega param bhaktam saptam priyam hitam jagat. Five things together to speak. So how do you speak the truth? Should not agitate. Anudvega. And then Prabhupada translation, if I recall, is the austerity. Means you have to make yourself, okay, I'm going to do this in a way that this person does not get agitated. So how do you present the truth? I said, priyam, it has to please that person. And hitam, it's for benefit of that person. So how do you present the truth? You have to really think about it. You cannot just say, this is what happened. Well, if that person is agitated, you didn't do the job according to Krishna. This is what I say. So it's a little art. It's not like exactly as it is. But it has to be in a way. Like Ambarish Prabhu says, when this boy in Hawaii says, oh, it's hard to follow this four regulative principle. I can't do it. And Prabhupada has nothing to do, he said, oh yes, it is hard. It's very difficult. Was Prabhupada truthful on this? It's not hard for him. But he came down to a level to make that boy feel, oh, he understood me. And that devotee is still existing, chanting.
So this is a first quality of a brahmana, that he has to be truthful. Srila Prabhupada gave example, even if an enemy comes and asks a brahmana, how much money you have, and he said, where is the money? He'll explain it. He's not going to deny the truth. Yes, him more? Yes.
And we should be following these four regulative principles of freedom,
Yes.
But truthfulness is still something that seems to be more significant somehow, or there's some emphasis on truthfulness that I guess I'm just not quite understanding that part of it. Why the emphasis?
Well, the emphasis, you can emphasize that very nicely, because without truthfulness, you can't accept the absolute truth. The absolute truth is the basis of all the other things that we have. There's no question of these other animalistic propensities if we understand the simple truth that we're not this body. We don't have these... if one actually has realized that situation, then these other things are insignificant. Just like he says for Srila Prabhupada, the four regulative principles, what the meaning. All right, Sukada.
I was going to say that, you know, it's time and place and circumstance, because in another time when someone was complaining about how Maya was so strong, you know, Prabhupada said, it's not that Maya is so strong, it's that your purpose is so weak. So when talking to this one devotee, he said, you know, I understand it is hard. You know, unless your purpose, you know, once we have your purpose and you know the outcome, then it's not so hard. So he, you know, it was a certain time, a certain place that he was talking to one person.
What about Koshi Brahman in Mahabharata?
What?
A Brahman named Koshi.
Okay.
This is Bhagavatam?
Did he lie or truth?
This is Bhagavatam?
It's in Mahabharata, yes.
Mahabharata, yeah.
Yeah, Kaushik, the famous character Kaushik. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So then that guy gave up. He said, oh, this is too much. I don't know which way to go. Which way did he went? But he didn't want him to get killed.
Right? Brahmins are supposed to be intelligent.
That's intelligent.
But, you know, truthfulness, I mean, it's, I don't think it just means like George Washington, I will not tell a lie. You know, I did chop down the cherry tree, you know? You know, it's like to live a truthful life, to represent the truth, you know, the supreme truth. You know, there's time and place. I mean, truthfully tell someone to go to hell? What use is that? You know, so truthfulness in the service of the absolute truth, as opposed to truthfulness just to, you know.
No, but absolute truth doesn't change.
Well, I'm referring.
Say the thing, this is
yeah.
Truth.
When I mean absolute.
Absolute truth exists by its own right. Never changes. Well, nobody can change.
I'm referring to Krishna here.
But relative truth is depends on the place, time, circumstance.
When I was mentioning absolute truth, I was referring to Krishna, the person. You know, and not like, oh, there's 10 things, and whoa, you know, though there could be that too. But Krishna's a dynamic person, and he's, you know, he can work it, you know. So when I mean absolute truth, I mean Krishna, that relationship with him, you know, that kind of truth, as you know.
That's a big subject. Satyam Param Dhimahi. We should meditate on this.
When Jodhurani asked Prabhupada, are we less that you didn't give us Brahman Gayatri? Some other Prabhupada didn't give Brahma Gayatri. And then she asked to Prabhupada, are we less that you didn't give? Prabhupada didn't say yes or no. He says, you want Brahma Gayatri? I'll give you. But it's not necessary for a woman. But then he gave. So Prabhupada did not say lie or truth. He just kind of, escaped from it.
Yeah, you're going to have the best interest of that person tomorrow.
Yes, okay. One more. Last what?
I think the last line of either the purport or the translation. They said, without begging, you cannot inherit the property of someone.
Yes, yes.
What does that mean?
It says, so by giving everything to the that wasn't the last line. Oh, that was the last line of the translation. He says, he asked simply because without begging, no authority can take one's rightful possession. All right? Sri Vamana Dev Ki Jai, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. Go over Prima.